Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I was going through one of those like slideshow ones. I saw bread being given out in slippers.
Hello and welcome to the third episode of the Big West podcast. We've got a few different guests this week to last week. Ben has dropped out. He's off on holiday this week. Instead, we've got Aaron with us, who has definitely got some more controversial opinions in line with the Big West, who also joins me to my right. And yeah, we've got quite a full show. We've got, of course, the different news stories of the week. Then we've got the Would You Rathers, which I'm sure are going to kick up quite a fuss. And then the agony aunt section, Uncle Whisk, will finish off the show. As per the last two shows, we've got a nonce ale of the week at the start. I've poured it like last week into a glass, so it can't be recognised for you to never taste. Big West, what are your thoughts? This was recommended to me by the guys at Majestic.
I'm not too keen on that.
Right,
actually.
And why is that?
It's a bit bitter.
Right. Okay.
It is a bit bitter.
So I'll tell you the notes you're tasting are of coriander and orange peel. That's what I'm told.
Yeah, you can kind of sense that because it is a bit it's striking.
Right. Okay. And it's from Iceland.
Yeah.
This is the Einstok Icelandic White Ale.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
No, I wouldn't recommend Iceland to continue brewing.
Right. Okay. And so you're rating out of five before we go into the news.
1.5.
Right, so I'm not expecting to get another bottle.
No, I'm not a fan of that.
Right, okay.
I mean, I drink it.
Right, perfect.
I think that's generous, to be honest.
Right, okay.
Really, Aaron?
Yeah. I mean, I think you can just take coriander completely out of the food system and it would be a positive thing.
Yeah, right. I don't think anyone would notice.
What is it really good for? It's just like a leaf on the top of a curry.
Yeah.
It is actually good for... It's supposed to be... Michelle told me this. It's something like, if you don't like coriander, it's because you haven't got enough iron in your system or something random.
That's medical, scientific.
Yeah, I hate it.
Right.
I can't stand it.
Right, okay, fair enough. So yeah, five news stories from around the world. As always, the weird and wonderful gets mentioned.
Yeah.
We've steered clear of the general election, which is voting day to day in the UK. But we're going straight in with something that really piqued my interest and sent to me by a listener. This was the headline. A man that's practicing a handstand on a cliff edge falls after trying to perfect the ultimate Instagram photo.
Yeah, he had it coming. Yeah.
he had it coming. So he was looking for the perfect photo. He's doing a handstand on a cliff edge, and he fell off.
It's like no one told him that most of those are photoshopped.
Most of them are, yeah.
What's he playing at? Why is he doing this?
Right. Well, there's obviously quite a lot of like extreme stuff that goes on YouTube, not YouTube and across social media and Instagram in particular, and people try and outdo each other.
Yeah.
What your general opinion?
I don't understand like thrill seeking as like a way of life.
Right.
Just be content with day to day mundane life.
Do you think that people that are trying to thrill seek are not getting enough in their day to day life in order to?
Yeah, you hear so many stories of people that have like trying to do something really dangerous or daring and they just die. Bunch of idiots, really.
Goes on to that. Who was the crocodile guy?
Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin, obviously, dedicated his life to this extreme kind of looking after crazy animals, and then actually gets to one of the most harmless animals in the world, and he gets killed.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but then
you think he had it coming.
No, I was always a big Steve Irwin fan as a child growing up. I loved watching his shows.
Yeah,
but I found it really quite depressing when I found that he died because of a stingray.
Yep.
I thought that's such a rubbish way to go out.
He's got to be eaten by a crocodile, really.
Yeah.
Lose a limb or something and bleed out.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think it's natural selection on the guy falling off the...
Yeah, I'm 100%. And also a real issue on the person that's taking the photo. They've really stitched him up.
Yeah. I saw one this week where it was a guy falling off a bridge where he's doing the same thing, and you see him actually fall down the bridge.
Oh, nice.
And every time I've seen a video of someone doing that for the last like 3 years, I've thought, surely some of these guys must fall.
You never see it, but
very, very rare that you ever see that, right?
Yeah.
This one, someone's actually caught it on camera, the guy falling.
Well, their mate's telling them, like, yeah, that sounds good.
Well, they're obviously, they're trying to be this next Instagram famous person, right? The obsession with likes and the obsession with followers in recent times has led people to do these crazy things.
Literally deadly, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this person is alive. They did survive. But you obviously see...
I bet his following's really gone up.
Yeah, I imagine so.
I don't think he deserved to survive.
Right, well, now I looked at the at some other notable stories similar to this where people have tried to do something impressive and really, really fall on their ass. And I found this on a African news website.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've really gone into the deepest...
Reputable.
really deepest, darkest...
Nigerian Daily Post.
Of journalism. Zimbabwean pastor eating my three cocktails whilst trying to walk on water like Jesus. I mean, he really had it coming.
So yeah. Was he walking on the crocodiles?
He must have been. Like,
he thought he could get away with
it. The photo shows quite a few crocodiles on the water. And I imagine he's just stepping on their heads as they're kind of submerged beneath. And that's his party trick. Yeah. And then it's really turned.
Well, thankfully, because, you know, he's a pastor and, like, he's a quite religious... You could put the argument forward that this is God's will.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd go straight in with natural selection again.
Yeah.
Anyone that's stupid enough to do that. I mean...
Yeah, this is just the world getting rid of the people that we don't need.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, what about the guy who...
Because I guarantee you no one has ever done that successfully.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. No one has ever crossed the river by stepping on crocodiles as logs.
100%.
You've got a 0% success rate.
True. Well, there's this other guy, obviously, on YouTube, massively blew up last year, so 2016. I think his name's Nightscape. And he climbed the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah, I've seen this video.
And then he climbed Halo Tower in Stratford as well, which is 43 stories, with no harness, nothing. And he's about 18 or 19.
Yeah.
And he videos everything. So he's climbing one-handed whilst he GoPros it up. And then the worst thing is he swings his feet whilst he straps a GoPro to his head and looks down and swings his feet and it's kind of makes you throw up.
Yeah, I've seen those videos, and when he does that bit, it does kind of put like a lump in your throat. You kind of feel. Like,
but you're watching it.
He's the winner.
Yeah, he's the winner. But what happens when he tragically dies by doing something less impressive?
Then he's a fool.
Yeah, so that it's a fine line between genius and an idiot.
Oh no, I don't think he's a genius.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
We can enjoy the content without saying he's a genius.
Fair enough.
If that was my son, he's an idiot. You know, I don't care if he does it successfully or not.
There are loads of people equally.
That's true. There's no. You're not winning anything from climbing
exactly
a building.
Yeah.
You just get a few people watch it, and most people are going, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
When someone puts a prize up for the first person to race to the top, fair enough. But up until that point,
I can't imagine his parents are over supportive of this.
No, I imagine not. But he's got a lot of new followers and a lot of new subscribers and a lot of, you know, video views on those pieces of content. I'm sure he's monetizing off the back of it.
Which
draws me on to just the last thing on this news story, which is another unrelated piece of news from around the world, and kind of sticking on the social media theme. Russian vending machines now sell Instagram likes and followers for money in like shopping malls. So there's like vending machines with a touch screen on it, and you can input your Instagram account, and you can either buy likes on your most recent photo for a certain amount of money, or you can buy 100 new Instagram followers.
Are they like, I guess they're bots.
They're bots.
Oh, right.
For what are your thoughts on how obsessed people have become?
Yeah, that's just how vain people are today. It's quite sad.
But what's quite interesting about that is that people who normally buy followers or buy fake likes do it from the comfort of their house, very anonymous, and hide from the fact that they've got this person is so happy just to just have likes and followers. They're going up into a shopping mall and standing in front of this thing that's very clearly about buying followers and pressing.
I was hoping it'd, you know, be a bit more subtle about it.
No, it's
like
in the middle.
Like some sort of disguised ticket machine.
Yeah, I haven't got a photo, but it looks like a fruity. It's really, really in your face. It's
you got
really
any idea on the quantities that they're buying?
100 followers.
That's okay. It.
£1.40 for 100 followers. It's good value.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, they're not real. So it's not
I mean,
real.
We should buy some for the
terrible
podcast.
Terrible value.
Right. So this one, going back into the archives, a second news story. Not from this week, but something that I really had to bring up. Again, insanity on the human race's part.
Oh, good lord.
straight to you, Aaron. Sheffield man cuts off toe with bolt cutters and eats it in the middle of Wilco.
Right.
If I can give you more information if you want.
I mean, I assume he obviously survived that. What was his reasoning behind it?
That wasn't touched on in the journalistic piece written by the Daily Star.
So just mental.
Yeah. Went into the electrical area, picked up the bolt cutters and cut his big toe off and just stood there eating it.
I'd love to know why he picked Wilco.
Yeah. Budget.
Yeah.
Very budget.
How they put it together, it could be a great great the lad piece, that.
I'm with you. I think it's just hysterical, and some of the witness accounts are really quite fantastic. They just didn't know what they were watching.
It's a good sales for the product. Like, we can cut through a toe.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Straight off.
Straight bone, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously completely insane. But there are instances, aren't there, where people have their mind plays weird tricks on them, right? So I saw this thing where this guy had his leg amputated because he just always felt like it wasn't his leg. That was it. He just always felt like it wasn't his leg, it belonged to someone else. So he had it amputated. The doctors took his leg off.
Yeah.
And so maybe this is a sort of smaller version.
Maybe
of that,
he thought Wilco owned his toe.
Maybe. Well, it kind of
blames. Sorry, did you say he ate it as well?
He stood there and ate it.
All right, sorry. Well, let's take that. Let's forget that last bit then. So he is just mental.
Yeah. So it kind of strikes that. Well, yeah, he didn't cook it. He didn't buy a cooker or a microwave.
I would get them one of those little disposable
I mean, that would be really
barbecues.
Challenging. Though,
that kind of lends me to this next question. Is if you were to have to cut off one part of your body and eat it in the middle of Wilco, probably a toe would be relatively far down your list.
Toenail would be right up there for me.
Yeah.
Does that count? If I was going to go for like a fleshy bit, I'd go for the earlobe.
Yeah, no, that's well thought.
But surely you've got to take the whole ear, though.
Yeah, you've got to take the ear.
You've got to take the whole ear.
That's quite carcassy.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to China and I've had like chicken feet,
very similar.
And
texture,
and the ears basically all skin and like kind of cartilage.
Yeah, cartilage. Yeah,
and that's kind of what a foot was like. Obviously, it was bone, but it was just kind of just skin.
Yeah, whereas maybe he was
I think little toe is probably the answer.
Yeah, little.
But
toe.
It's all bone then, isn't it? Little toe.
No, you've got a bit of flesh,
but then it's all bone. Surely the big toe is better. You eat it like a chicken drumstick.
Yeah, it's a lot more of a toe.
There's a lot more bone in your big toe.
And the big toe is a lot more important to your day-to-day life.
At this point, when you're sat in Wilco, cutting off a body part, ready to eat it, you are not thinking about what's good for your everyday life.
You're right.
Well, I'd question what you are thinking about. That's what you've got in there for.
I wonder if he set up a camp chair. I want to see a video of that. I really want to see some CCTV.
Did they just allow him to walk out the store after he'd finished?
No, ambulance was on the scene.
Mm. Rightly so. I mean, just cut off his toe and ate it.
Yeah, I mean, there must have been an almighty mess.
It's only a toe. It's not going to like load.
Gushing out.
No. It's only a toe.
Right.
If he'd done something to like an actual artery,
don't forget he's bulk. It's not a clean like it's.
Yeah, but like, there isn't much blood going to the little toe.
This is the big toe.
Oh, he's cut off the big toe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's mental. On to a slightly more joyous topic from America this time, moving away from sort of Nigeria and Sheffield. Downward facing goat yoga trend draws flock to New Hampshire farm. So this is yoga with goats. First question: what are your opinions on yoga and any sort of meditation?
Well, if it helps you compose yourself, then yeah, go for it.
Right.
Not something I'd do.
Right. Why not?
Well, I'm not that flexible.
That's your main reason.
Yeah.
But these goats help you. They stand on your back, they push you down.
I don't want to be molested by a goat.
What about a human? Why wouldn't you go to a yoga class?
Because I'm not flexible enough.
Right.
And it's a waste of money.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
Well, I think you go to yoga to get more flexible. So
that's
maybe
true.
That would be a solution to
you. No, I'm content.
You're not expected to walk in
flexibility.
And start touching your toes, put your legs between your legs.
I can touch my toes.
Oh, well, that's all right. That's better than majority of people.
Yeah, I'm fine in this regard.
Is it gravity that's pulling you down?
Gravity would have a role to play in anything like this.
Right.
So are they taking the horns off these goats?
No, they're like pygmy goats.
Right.
They apparently bring a lovely energy to the room and brings everyone together. Mm. But they're standing on your back.
How do they know to stand on your back? They just get placed on you.
No, they'll stand on anything.
Yeah, they just go up and climb stuff.
Have you not seen those mountain goats and stuff?
I've seen the ones that are on the cliff face.
In trees.
Yeah.
They're standing on something the size of a 30-centimetre ruler. You know, it's crazy, their balance.
Yeah, I don't want any goats walking on me.
My question is, why? Why are they doing that? What's the real benefit?
Well, because someone's probably got some goats and a yoga studio.
It's on a farm.
And has thought, hey, what can we put together
and
sell this?
It's an attractive gimmick.
It's taken that particular state by storm.
Which state is
this? Yeah, I was going
to
say.
New Hampshire, is that a state?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, wow. That's not as hillbilly as I thought it would be.
No, this is a farm.
Wow.
Putting on these $33 classes. It's quite different. You're really going through that AO, I didn't expect.
I'm just thirsty, mate.
It's low on iron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I'd rather spend money on those mud jeans on the other week than goat lessons.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on that, Aaron? So there's a fashion at the moment where you can pay £330 to buy jeans with mud on them.
No, that's ridiculous.
So, in general, what are your thoughts on those crazy? But well, this kind of brings a whole topic about crazy trends that come in and that have no real use and just there for fashion.
People trying to be different.
You know, my clothing style is very simple. It's go shopping once a year. It's very difficult to hit the trends if you only go once a year. Yeah. And it's buy the same thing six times once a year, basically. So I'm sort of miss all the trends. And then they tend to come back round to me every 5 or 6 years. You know?
Yeah, you're like a broken clock.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nice. Okay, keep it on the animal theme. I'm not sure if you're aware, Big West, but a year ago, the New York subway, the tube system, banned all dogs if they couldn't fit in your bag.
Right, okay.
So you're not allowed to have a dog on the tube unless they fit in your bag.
First off, what about the blind?
The blind. I imagine there's exceptions. So, this headline, New Yorkers keep calm and carry on in hilarious defiance of subway ban on dogs. So they're just putting dogs in bigger bags.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. I like that.
So it's been a year since they've been banned, and I'm going to get you some photos now. There's one, for instance, there's husky just in a massive bag. What's this one? This one in an IKEA bag.
Oh yeah, big bag. So
just standing up, but they just
wrapped it in a bag.
They're clothing it in a bag.
Mm.
I like it when people try and take a stand against these things.
One's a really, really top draw one. That one's just being left in a bag. And then my favourite one, which is the backpack, which is just one in a sitting in a backpack. So
these are all massive dogs in people's bags, essentially.
Yeah. So they're really trying to go around it. So what are your thoughts on the defiance, where people are always trying to go around the rules?
I like it in this instance.
The creativity.
I like the loopholes that they're trying to find.
Mm. Yeah, I like the fact that someone did it once, and then someone on the tube went,
That's a good idea.
I've got some big bags at home.
Yeah.
And I've got a Great Dane, and I can put it in there.
This trend won't be complete until someone's cut a hole in a suitcase
and wheels it along.
Yeah. it won't be finished until that point.
Right. Okay. What if you were to get a dog and you were living in New York?
I'd never get a dog.
Right.
To start off with.
Right. Okay, well, let's move past that. Oh, yeah. Aaron, actually, you've got dogs. Dogs that do relatively fit in bags. But one of them less so. If you were to carry it around, would it be? It's very heavy. Your dog. Would it be a backpack?
Definitely the big one. Yeah. Dora would go straight. I mean, she could go in your top pocket if you needed to.
Yeah. So
definitely sort of cross between a dachshund and a horse. So it's.
I think this. I think the backpack.
Yeah.
So lots of
not
carry.
Be happy. You tell you.
But better than not going out at all.
She would moan the entire time. But I'm absolutely with you. I'd 100% be doing it. I think I'd go and find the biggest bag, almost irrelevant to the size of the dog.
But like a Sports Direct bag.
So I'd go and put a tiny dog in a huge bag just to make a.
But what statement? Who are you really making that statement to?
The government.
I think just for
shits and
giggles.
Yeah, and just having fun.
Yeah. More for Twitter than anything else.
Oh yeah,
more
yeah.
for Reddit. And
yeah, but this is the best way to get followers, not go to some silly booth.
Yeah, not a booth, not handstands on the edge of a cliff. Get a dog in a bag.
Yeah.
Well, there's much lower risk of death with that.
True.
There?
True.
True.
Listen, I'm with them. In first place, I think they should just be able to take their dogs on the tube. If people don't like it, well, you know, so be it. But
yeah, so what are your opinions on that? As like animals on the tube in general, where do you draw the line?
As long as it stays away from me, I'm fine.
Any animal?
Well, no,
not like an elephant.
Well, look, where do you draw the line? And how do you draw the line?
Well, I think domesticated animals. I think if someone brings a fox on the tube, I think we've
on
we
a
might
lead.
Have a problem.
If it's on a lead,
yeah, what if it's
why
like,
does it matter?
What if it's like attacking you?
Obviously, if any animal attacks you, then it shouldn't be on the tube. It's
also not going to be that animal's fault. It'll be the owner, right? You can see it.
But like a snake, if someone just walked in and they had a snake around their neck,
yeah.
and it was, you know, perfectly placid, and
yeah.
you'd be happy with that?
Yeah, crack
no,
on.
No.
Last, I'd be off that tube
no.
yeah. so quickly.
Why? It's not going to kill you.
What if
well,
you're...
It might do, depending on which one.
Yeah, you don't know.
If it's
you're
one
a
man,
snake expert.
If it's one man with one big python, he's not going to come let it drop on you. Then, like,
but what is that acceptable?
Well, you could take a child though, or a small dog, or something, couldn't it?
Well, that's the first of all escape his grasp
quite easily.
So let's just well, just for clarity here, you're saying you'd walk on a tube after this.
Yeah.
You'd go get on the tube. There's some bloke sitting there with a 10-foot python.
Yeah.
You're just going to casually
sit
not,
down next to him.
Not go. Oh my god.
I mean, I'm just going to sit next to him. Seat next to him.
Well, that's the only seat available.
No, I'm standing.
Near him?
I'll stand where there's space.
So you're avoiding him?
No, I'll stand where there's space.
So you're for it, as long as you don't have to sit next to him?
As long as things don't interfere with me and bother me, I'm kind of pretty much fine.
Right, okay, what if you're sitting next to someone, and it's all very pleasant and everything's nice, and now hold on, hamster's popped out his top pocket.
Yeah.
You happy with that?
Yeah.
What if it's like, oh, hold on, it's fallen out, it's all over the place, it's now running amok around. It's not hurting anyone, it's very small, but it's running around the tube.
Fair enough.
Oh, get me off.
No, because exactly. You'll have rats everywhere on the tube anyway. This
not basic... on the tubes?
Yeah, sometimes.
I don't think that mouse has survived very long on a tube.
Oh, no, oh, yeah, it's getting trapped.
Yeah. that thing will be dead within 10 seconds.
So your line is anything that doesn't interfere with you.
Yeah.
And your line is domesticated animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think because
so
you've
cats,
have...
you're talking your cats, your dogs. What if like rabbits?
I've got no problem with that.
Right.
I mean, it's personal threat to me, really. You know, it's. Do I trust the person has complete control over that animal or not? That's the big thing for me.
Mm.
You know, when I walk around parks and you see a pit bull or something like that, I only, you know, get remotely concerned depending on who's walking that dog.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reality. If it's some, you know, woman with kids, fine. If it's some bloke covered in tattoos with his shirt off that looks like he wants to fight everyone and he's got a pit bull,
yeah.
I'm far more worried than...
So you're stereotyping off the
kids.
Back of a... Off
I
the
am,
belt.
100%.
Right.
100%.
Well, stereotypes are only formed based on actual life events.
Yeah, true.
So you'd be pretty safe.
A stereotype of a snake on a round someone's neck is not positive, but you're happy to share a tube.
If a man's comfortable enough to take his snake out of the house, then
maybe
I'm comfortable enough to be around it.
People are insane. We've just been talking about someone that went into Wilco and cut their toe off.
Yes.
You know?
So forget animals then. At what point do you get off the tube and go into the next carriage? What makes you leave? Is it the smell of someone? Is it them talking to you? Is it
homeless people?
No, really?
Yeah.
But what are they having to do? Is it the smell or is it them talking to you?
No, the smell doesn't bother me. It's just them talking to me.
Oh, so, no. So it's human interaction then, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Well, travel is very much getting A to B with the least hassle possible
for me.
I don't want any hassle.
Okay.
I'll put up with a lot of stuff on the tube. I mean, my train home every day is there's at least three or four homeless guys walk up and down that tube every single
day. Oh, I've been on the way here on the underground.
Right.
I do always think, I wonder how they're paying for the train. You know, because it looks like they've got the ability to buy the ticket and stuff.
So well, there's a massive... There's
is it
the
a business?
There's the scam. The have you seen the...
The tissue people.
Mm-hmm. Give out tissues, packs of tissues, put it by your seat.
With like a little a laminated note.
That says, please donate £10. My daughter needs to go to hospital or whatever. That's a massive gang thing in London. Mm.
Right.
Where they have these women are going around collecting money for a gang.
Yeah,
and they get a cut.
No, I see that happens. You know, I think these guys must. It's not. If you think about it, you really nail it down. It's, particularly the ones going up and down the trains, right? I mean, I give the guy a quid or something as it goes past. Other people do, right?
Mm.
So they might get
between 50p and or zero and like 3-4 quid a carriage.
Yeah.
They can do the whole train in 10 minutes. They could do 30-40 quid in that train in 10 minutes. I mean, you start working that out on an hourly rate, it's not a bad living.
Although so the homeless
they
people,
could be just going on the trains making a living.
Homeless people in London are more than, well, in certain areas of London, they make more than the living wage.
Mm. I remember
so
reading,
Westminster,
yeah,
homeless people earn like £200 to £300 a day.
Yeah, there's a guy I see every day. I must have given 30 quid to him over the last 6 months in just bits. He's got a dog, and I always
I'm never giving anything to any dog.
Right.
And I saw him getting on a bus earlier, and I just thought, what the fuck is he getting on a bus for? You know, like, where's
walk,
he going?
You've got time.
But where's he going? If he's, I always see him here, and he's homeless. Where's he travelling to? I don't. Like, why do I always? Is he travelling in for the day and then
commuting?
You know, like.
Well, that's true. Like, if you know that certain areas are better for money, then you would commute in.
Yeah.
It'd be worth it. It'd be a worthwhile investment. Your
ROI
would be good.
He's in the same spot every day, but obviously doesn't sleep there. So he must have just worked out that that is the best spot. He's going to get a better rake if he sits there.
I have. This could sound really bad, but I have. I have rules when it comes to homeless people.
Right, and what's the checklist?
Well, because like I have struggled sometimes with like saying no to them.
Yeah.
So yes, I remember there's been like a few times where I'm buying a train ticket and they come up to you and you're like, oh, I know I have money, so I find it really bad.
Smart from them, by the cash machine.
Yeah,
I
never give anyone any money next to a cash machine because they've thought too much about it.
Right.
They should think about it because they're poor and homeless. But I don't want to give them any money because they're preying on you. They're trying to guilt trip you.
Yeah.
Which is what they all do. But like, if you're just sitting there in a corner or like in like a door frame, it's kind of less in your face. And anyone who has an animal or a dog, I don't want to give them any money. Because you're kind of putting the dog in a bit of a shit position then, isn't you?
It's getting a better life there than it would be anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, all the dogs
well,
I see are very well looked after by the... You know,
because they've got nothing else to cling on to.
I mean, that dog is everything to them. I mean, I don't listen.
No, that dog is a ploy to get more money.
It's definitely a good investment. It's like YouTubers. They invest in a dog, get more views.
Mm. I always think whenever I see one with a dog, the first thought in my mind is always take the dog, give the guy like 200 quid and be like, listen, mate, let me just take your dog, go and like, I'll help you, I'll sort you out, but like, you've got to
get rid of the dog.
Get rid of the dog. Let me take that. But you know, you're taking away possibly the only thing they've got. It might be the only reason they're still cracking on. I mean, it's a very difficult thing with homelessness, you know, because there's so many different reasons.
Yeah.
And for me, if I look at someone and they look like, that's going straight on. I mean, if I see homeless people drinking or, you know, cracking
stuff. They all do that though, in the dark hours when no one sees them.
Yeah, but there are some that like, there's one girl that sits outside our office.
Yeah, and you know it.
And like, she must be shooting heroin 2 or 3. You can see it. Like,
yeah.
She is all over the place all the time, and there are lots of others around here where it isn't that case. They might have a couple of beers in the evening or whatever, that's fine, but like otherwise you are just feeding a problem, like you really are, and
that's what I feel like what happens when you give any homeless person any money.
But you've got to help people get out of that situation.
Yeah, but if you're giving them money to, you know, facilitate a habit, then they're not helping themselves, is what I'm saying.
Right. It's got very deep. And we've gone from dogs in carry bags to homeless stuff and drug addiction. So I'm going to whisk it straight back over to Carrotchino. Coffee hipsters have finally gone too far as coffee served in carrots. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I hate that.
I know you hate this.
I've just seen a picture of it.
Yeah,
that is dreadful.
Yeah, it's genius.
That's a massive carrot. Is that like an espresso though?
I can't tell you how big that carrot is. It doesn't look actually that big. It's just a close-up.
But like what we all know carrots are, carrots aren't that big. So if you're going to have a coffee, it's going to be quite a small coffee.
Yeah,
I'm
imagine it'd be like a...
Yeah.
Imagine it'd be like... It's effectively a shot.
I bet they eat the cup after. I bet that's encouraged.
Encouraged.
Well, it has to be.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can always like recycle it and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's just taking
it. Recycle it. It's a carrot.
Well, like, you know what I mean? Like, give it, put it in the
compost
heap.
Would you
think
this would turn into another carrot or something?
Put it in the dishwasher, put it through the
dryer. No, you can put it in like the food recycling and it gets made into compost or whatever.
Yeah. Mm. Well, so I think a bit of background as to why I picked this story. One, because it's absolutely mental. And two, because I know Big Whisk as well. Very, very acute thought on the trend sweeping the country and many other countries as well, of not using plates for your food? Like, what, go and talk.
There aren't many things that annoy me more.
Right, well, then when you get given like a nest or like a like a slate.
Because in the food in the food giving process, the one thing that was perfected was the plate.
Right.
Why are we changing the plate?
It's just to mix it up.
I don't need it mixed up.
What if you think?
I took my food given to me on a plate.
I think the plate is still very much world renowned.
The plate is still, you know, the most frequently used.
Yeah, but what? So what examples? What specific examples of really?
I was going through one of those like slideshow ones. I saw bread being given out in slippers. they put some cheesecake out on a broken roof tile. Right. Oh, it's a disgrace. It really is.
I'm not so bothered about all these different inventive things. But I am bothered about plates that aren't either black or white. I don't want a plate with a pattern on it.
Why?
That's going, like, the Wetherspoons plates are white with a blue.
Yeah, they're blue bits, yeah.
Yeah, I can't be doing with that. It's too messy.
That might be more mental than what he's saying.
Yeah, it might be.
Because the plate is just an object.
You're looking at it as a device. I'm looking at it as very much a presentation thing. You're not so bothered about the presentation. You're looking at it very much on the how am I going to eat this food as easily as possible.
Like, I won't ever turn anything away if it's on a slate and stuff.
Right.
Because it's food, I like food.
Yeah.
But, like, I'll think to myself,
you'll begrudgingly eat it.
This is just like they're trying too hard here.
Right.
So I don't understand this need to try and be trendy. Right. Like, things were fine. Food
what about
was
things,
fine.
Like, what about things that they're obviously trying to be trendy and they match things to, like, I've seen chips being served in, like, mini deep fat fryer pans. And
But are they just doing this now because of social? Right.
Yeah, it must be.
I think 20 years ago, what's the fucking point in sticking it on a brick or something? Because no one's going to see it unless they go to the restaurant. Whereas on social now, someone will stick that in a video, you'll get 2 million
Instagram
views.
That place looks cool, and we'll go there.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, there's a reason they're doing this. I just don't buy into it.
Well, that is why they're doing it.
Yeah.
The problem is, it is harder to eat when it's not on a plate.
Yeah.
You're fiddling about. The only thing that's easier to eat than a plate is what you used to have at school dinners, where everything was compartmentalised. Like, that is unlikely.
Prison,
my dream. Really. Like, not cutlery in the middle, dessert to my right, main course to my left. I'll sort myself out here.
That's how Phoenix eats all his food.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That is how everyone should eat their food. Compartmentalise into how I need to set up my next half an hour.
Do you not like them touching each other?
No. I'm very much open to all that sort of stuff. I like gravy and all that sort of stuff mixing together. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, I'm a big mixer. You know?
Yeah, you really
just
stir.
Shove it all in there. Yeah. It takes me a good 5 or 10 minutes from receiving my food to be in a position where I'm ready to eat it. Because I need to do a full prep on that.
I'd only mix certain things, though.
Right. What? Where do you draw the line?
Well, I don't want to maybe.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A big mess. Like, if I was going to have some.
So you are concerned about the look of it.
Only I am, because I don't want.
What do you do with a curry?
Foods.
I think the curry is a real standard of do you mix your food or not? Because some people go, me for instance, I will put my rice on the left hand side and the curry on the right.
No.
Some people like, right, rice in the middle,
curry
on the top, and then right, I'll just shovel it around for a bit until everything's orange.
No, 100%. I'm kind of in the middle.
It makes every curry dish a biryani.
But once I've started, I don't want plain rice thrown in there. I don't want biryani one mouthful and then some rice in the next one.
Right.
No, I mean, give it to me all at the same time. It's all part of the package.
I'm kind of in the middle.
Right.
So
you're putting it on the top?
No. I have it side by side with you, but I'd mix a little bit in to get the feel of it. And if I get like some rice, I'd like get it around the edge of the curry.
So you're very
sauce.
Much a tactical approach.
Yeah, yeah.
The curry.
Yeah.
So you're worried you'll overmix it initially.
Yeah.
And regret it.
If I, because like curries, when you go to like a curry house, they do vary a lot between curry houses.
Yeah,
like the way they cook it and stuff.
Spiciness.
I know
that. You've been caught out a couple of times.
Yeah, caught out a few times. Yeah. So you don't know if you're gonna really like it.
Yeah, so you don't want to mix it all in, thinking, yeah, then, oh, God, and then if you don't, the rice.
If you don't like it, then it's like, I'm kind of fucked that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, that is one of my pet peeves, is the need to do that. The fact that when you order from places, it doesn't always come the same.
Yeah, what do you think the food that's the most susceptible to that
pizza.
Is?
Pizza.
Right.
Pizza, honestly.
Right. I've Chinese for me.
No, Chinese is very much the same everywhere, which is why it's always number one in the
pizza.
Situation.
You can get so much wrong because it's all about the mix of those things on top.
What
percentage of tomato, what percentage of cheese, what percentage of toppings. You get that
and the
wrong.
Bread, how affects the bread.
So that's why I don't go for toppings on any pizza.
Yeah, you've got an utterly...
What, you just go margarita on everything?
Yeah. Because I know that.
But his reasoning for that is so when he eats it, it'll slide off.
There are more than one reason.
That's it.
There's more than
it's
one
not,
reason.
He wants a chicken and he wants a pepperoni.
There's more than one reason. Firstly, all the meat they put on it is kind of shit quality. Like, it's not going to be very good. Right. Secondly,
depends where you're ordering from.
Well, I think we're only going to be ordering from the fucking terrible places open at 2 a.m. So all those stuff is going to be not very nice quality. And when you pick it up, it's not cooked into the cheese most of the time. It'll be on top when you pick it up and it's all falling off.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not.
And
I'm not
I don't like having to like go around my plate or the box of meat and I'm like, picking it up, putting it back on. It's just a big fuss. Whereas I know I really like cheese.
Yeah.
And pizza's box.
Yeah.
So I know.
Bread and cheese.
Bread and cheese. I know. Get all of that together. All those components I know I really like.
Yeah. I'm with you. I like bread and I like tomato sauce and like cheese. I wouldn't ever pay 15 quid for it. It seems crazy to go to like a Domino's and order it, like just cook yourself a cheese on toast.
No, but you're paying that much for a meal that you want and you like.
I had my first Domino's in about 2 years on Saturday night and it came and it was perfection. Really? Came in like 15 minutes and I could not have made or prepared the thing better.
Right.
Ordered a Pizza Express yesterday, it didn't come because delivery screwed it up. And so, okay, it's late, I'll just order another Domino's.
Yeah.
Just a complete disaster. Completely just bear no resemblance to one I had on Saturday night.
Same outlet?
Same.
Different outlet.
Same pizza.
Right. Different outlets. Exactly the same pizza. Exactly
what
the same.
Things? What?
Online order. Exactly the same. And honestly, these two pizzas were not even remotely the same.
What,
just
what,
the green chilies
the
and sweet corn.
Right, so a pretty easy order.
Nothing complicated. But it was just the difference was I ate the whole thing on Saturday night. It was brilliant. I had two slices last night through it. Well, I won't order Domino's again for another. Because you know, I'm only interested in that. If they can bring it to me like they did on Saturday, I'll have it every night of the week. Right. But outside of that, it's just a mess.
So I've had a lot of bad Domino's in my time.
They are.
So Domino's.
You're right, they're very susceptible to different.
So I've ruled out Domino's from my list of like takeaways.
I'm back to ruling that out.
If I'm ever getting a pizza, it's Papa John's all day, every day.
Right. Okay, well, I'm going to draw that line there. Yeah. We need to move on. We're not going to have snack of the week this week, mainly because I've left it next door and I can't bother to go and get it. We're tight on time anyway. So we're going to go straight into Would You Rather, which I think is really going to be the pinnacle of the show. So we're going to kick off with something that I've already toyed with a few people in the office today. Would you rather, and I'll start with you, Big West, be 4 feet shorter or 4 feet taller? Now, to put some context in, announce your height before you give your answer and your justification.
I'm about 6'4".
Right, so 4 foot taller,
yeah.
You're an utter freak show. You're probably the tallest man of all time.
No, well, no, but...
10 foot?
Oh, no,
I think...
You're 10.5 foot.
I don't think there's ever been anyone above 8 foot.
8'7" or something is the tallest. 10 foot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, that is...
Yeah, I think I would therefore go for the taller one.
Taller?
Yeah.
Oh, just for the PR?
Yeah.
Not just that. I now become the best basketball player ever.
Exactly.
Your knees are screwed, though.
Is your life expectancy the same?
Huh?
Because these really tall guys don't live very long.
Well, that you'd have to build in.
Yeah, but short guys also
you'd
don't live very long.
Well, I think I'm already past the age of most of these.
Yeah,
short guys also don't live very long.
So are you saying if I choose that, I die now?
But short guys, obviously... How tall are you?
5'11".
So you're going to be 4 foot shorter than that.
No.
1'11".
No, I'm definitely not being that. 100%. I'm going for the taller one. That's an easy one, I think.
Right.
There are lots of things I could do with that.
Right. Well, like what?
Like play basketball, like he said. Like you know, even at football, mate. You imagine going up front. Stick that up there, boys.
Yeah.
The whole
taller
play
than the
goalpost.
Imagine being goal.
Yeah, we'll be, I just don't think your flexibility will be very good.
You're going to go on your knees and you'll still be 8 foot tall.
I just don't think... I think your whole body...
I think you underestimate my physical abilities. First.
Right, I think your whole body's going to be completely screwed with how tall you are. All these tall people...
Well, no, your body would be in proportion, so it would know how to deal with it.
But let's be clear.
Then you'd be the biggest... Not only the tallest one, you'd be the biggest human being to ever exist.
Yeah.
If you're in proportion, I think it's even scarier. But if it's tall people,
but I could be. You're making it sound like the other option is to be the height we are now. The other option is to be 1'11".
Yeah, I think you've got it slightly better. 2'5".
Do you know how short 2'5" is?
Oh, it's like, you're a leprechaun.
It's probably like the height of this table.
Yeah, you're a leprechaun, effectively.
Yeah, that's rubbish.
Is that even? I mean,
what's good about
that's that? That's really small, isn't
it? Oh, severe. Yeah,
I could get
dwarf.
Out.
No, but that's way even below dwarf.
Yeah, if you think dwarf is anything below like 5 feet, isn't it? Like, to be specifically categorised as a dwarf. Or like a short person. There was one on my DLR.
You have to be shorter. Oh, the average height of a dwarf is 4 foot.
Yeah, there you go. So 1'11".
I'm half the size of a dwarf, mate. You're not one of the Smurfs.
I'm not sure there's anyone that's only 1'11", is there?
No, well, children.
Yeah, well, obviously.
That's what I mean. But, yeah. That's your height. Well, Phoenix can't be much.
I don't know. I haven't measured him.
That can't... He can't be miles off.
Don't know.
1'11".
I will measure him when we get home.
See, I'm in a boat where 4 foot taller. I choose it. I'm 5'7", so...
You'd still be 9'7".
Oh,
you know, you'd still be the tallest man ever.
But a
man
of 10'5" is...
Man, I don't think there's a lot of difference between 9'7" and 10'5". To be honest.
True, in terms of what you can actually do, there's not a lot of difference. I just think it'd be fun little running around as a little fella.
No.
Yeah, but then it'd also be fun being the big bloke and you all run and call it...
Think of the logistical problems of being that tall.
But think about the logistical problems of
you can't drive
it's
if
surely
you're
worse if
you're,
it's one...
You're so
you
short.
You can't even get into bed in most places.
Yeah, you have to use like a trampoline.
Yeah.
Trust me, I've got a 1 foot.
Yeah, you therefore it's, now... You
he can't
drive.
Do a lot, mate.
Average height. I'm just looking up now, for the purposes of this, of a 2-year-old. I want to see how... So, a 12-month-old girl is 30 inches. Now, how tall is that? 30 inches.
12 inches.
Two and a half feet.
2.5 feet.
So, you're a year old.
Above that. He'll be above that already.
Right. So, you're looking at about 9 to 10
He can't get upstairs.
Right. Okay, yeah. I'm really going for that. So, at what level do you draw that line? What level do you go shorter?
Oh, no. 100%. I'd go 4 foot a dwarf over that. Over being 10 foot.
Oh yeah, I'd go for the sure. I'd go for the 4 foot.
So you'd have to be 4 foot and a dwarf,
yeah.
Rather than 10 foot.
Yeah, definitely.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Okay, well that's a good one to start. So this one's a bit of a moral dilemma, which I think Aaron's going to prefer to Big West, but we've got some fantastic ones for you coming up. Don't worry. Spend 5 years in prison for something you didn't do.
Yeah.
Or 10 years for something you did. So obviously this, and the question that I got back when I was talking to the other guys about this was, it all depends on the crime that you are supposedly committed and also have committed. So think of the worst possible crime, think of it as a murder. That's the worst.
I don't think that's the worst crime, going into prison.
Or rape, paedophilia.
No, anything, yeah, paedophilia, because they'll kill you.
No, so let's say it's that, it's the worst possible crime. Would you rather have done it and know in your head that you did it and you're serving a term of...
No, I'd rather no, for sure.
It could be
you'd rather have.
But my outlook on life isn't that focused around what other people think.
It would genuinely be you could give me any crime and I'd always bet the 5 years.
You'd always try to get out as quickly as possible.
Yes.
Oh no, well not necessarily. Would I rather go down for 10 years for murder than 5 years for paedophilia? Absolutely.
Even if you didn't do.
I'm not sure there's anything worse than obviously. The worst thing would be what happens.
Is there no
to that
way
child
of like
beyond that
of after being released that you're then acquitted? No chance.
No. That's not how this works. This is a would you rather. And I'm giving you the facts. 5 years in, and you didn't do it, and you're fighting your justice throughout the whole time.
Oh no, 100% that. 100% that.
Because
for me, it's different as well because I've got a wife and kids, so there is a real thing for me.
So
I miss 5 years.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you miss 10, and that's quite a lot.
Yeah. I've always thought I might do a couple. So, you know, I'm mentally prepared
for that. You see, you're biding your time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've got 18 months to two, so I think you can do that.
Yeah,
I think
I'm with
I think
you.
When you start getting...
You don't lose that much in your life with 2 years. And I don't know what the crime level you have to commit in order to get that. Probably some sort of
fraud or something.
Yeah, some sort of like white collar crime. But yeah, you don't miss like what. Let's say we're talking like prison jail sentences here. So, what would be your time that you think you'd really start to break? So 10 years is a long time.
I don't think it's based on the time that you would. I think the real challenge would be. I think it'd be what you've got, right? Because if you've got life.
So it's knowing what else.
I think within 3 months you're in a really tough place because you've got life, right? Whereas if you've only got 3 years or 5 years, you've got an out. So I think you have a different way of getting through it because you're always focusing on getting out. If you go and if you've got life, at that point you've got nothing to lose, and so it becomes a whole different thing.
So you'd prefer to be counting down the calendar rather than not know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I would much rather go into prison thinking I had 2 years and then every 2 years they screw me and keep me in than to know I've got life. I'd want to know I'd want to at least think I could get out.
Oh no, I think in that situation I'd settle for the knowing I've got life.
Right.
Because that repeat hope would really work away at you.
Yeah, especially after the second time. So
yeah, maybe after like 15, 20 years you start.
Like the hope of thinking you'd eventually get out, even though you never do, would really drive you insane. Whereas if you're given life, you can kind of come to terms with it.
Well, I think first of all, in the UK, I think life you get out anyway, don't you?
25, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm sure everyone that gets life still thinks deep down they're going to get out, even if they're not. Yeah. Even if it's in the US and they get life without parole, they must still be a little part of them that thinks maybe, you know.
Okay, so have no knees or have no elbows. Now, this isn't a you have no legs or you have no arms. This is a have no knees, have no
again.
Is that so you are straight joints?
Yeah. You can't, you're like that, or you're having to walk like a. It's a waddle.
Kind of similar to the one we had the other day, where it's like have legs as long as your arms or fingers. And
yeah, that's what I picked up.
I'd always go for have no elbows.
Really? Yeah. This is a talking man.
No, because
you can still walk with like.
No, you can't because you walk. Right, you shat yourself.
Yeah.
All right, but do this right. Straighten your arms.
Yeah. Try and pick something.
Now try and pick something up.
Pick that up and drink it.
It's impossible. You see?
And you're still going for those old legs? I can't believe you think.
No, I'm not even gonna risk it.
I can't believe you think that choosing no elbows is the right answer there. No justification.
If you drop something on the floor of your house, it's staying there for the rest of time. You're no longer being able to reach that.
So that is obviously the difficulty is if you drop something or if you need to get up, like getting up's very difficult.
Your life now is aligned to somebody that's in a wheelchair, for example.
Which is probably what you'd do.
Yeah.
I mean, you look crazy. Your legs would be right out.
So really the question is, because actually, essentially, if your arms are straight like that, you may as well have no arms.
Yeah, you're right. Think of that anymore now, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't really do anything with them, apart from like punch, I suppose, swing MMA. At people, yeah.
Great clotheslines.
Well, you already do good clotheslines, yeah.
They wouldn't even bend.
Oh, you know, yeah.
They'd snap your arm pretty easily.
Though. Yeah, they would snap quite easily.
I think that, for me, it's all based around what you said. It's all about picking stuff up. Like, I'm of same mind at this point with both of these options, so I still want to be able to do stuff. And
yeah. Look
at it!
What I do day to day, apart from getting up these stairs, I could do.
You could get up those stairs. You just have to go backwards.
You
have to go up like a child.
You could crawl up.
Yeah, or you just go up, bump up, like up your ass, but it'd be fine.
But it's doable, and when you're sat down, you're as competent as everybody else. Whereas if your arms are like that,
you
there's never
are
a situation.
Mental.
Yeah, I think I'm changing.
And you think you can run and stuff, but you can't because you've got these wooden sticks coming out the side of your body, which your arms
swinging
around everywhere. You can't stick them in close to your chest or anything.
No, or something like that. Yeah. And that's not going to help.
Penguins get by fine.
Oh, they don't run though, do they?
Who needs to?
Yeah, you don't run.
Yeah, you're right.
So you've changed your mind.
Yeah.
It's based on trying to drink your beer.
Yeah, the idea of picking something up.
That's what's done you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've put too much emphasis on walking.
And
drinking is actually more critical.
And you've really, this has been an ongoing theme for the past couple of episodes. You've really gone for keeping your legs safe, but yeah, because your arms seem to be very low priority.
There aren't many things worse than being crippled, in my opinion. Yeah.
Right. And he's an athlete, mate. Look at him.
Naturally gifted.
Yeah, famously told us once that he was athletically gifted, which...
I am athletically gifted.
Right. That will be a story for another day.
Go and find a picture of him, if you're listening to this.
Would you rather be... And this is a question, really, of your fears. Mm. Would you rather be stuck on a broken ski lift or in a broken lift?
Ski lift.
Right, so you're... So my thing is, I don't like heights. I think I'm more scared of being cut off.
I've jumped off a ski lift before.
Right, and then you've had no legs, like, he'd be scared off.
It was deep powder, it did stop, and we just hopped off.
Let's say that's not a possibility. You're stuck up there until they fix it. Let's say the arbitrary amount of time is you're in there for 6 hours.
What's the temperature?
Well, you're on a ski lift, so it's...
Well, is it March and the sun's out and I've got...
It also depends on what time of day.
Is it a blizzard?
Because if you're...
No, it's not a blizzard. It's just normal skiing conditions. So you...
But you're wrapped up, fine.
Yeah, you're all wrapped up. So my thing is very much, at that point, I've probably still got my phone and signal. And therefore, I'm probably... I can shout to people. I can have a conversation. I've probably got someone with me.
Well, the other thing is, with a ski lift, there is always someone manning that. So the second that stops, they're going to come and find and fix it. Whereas in a lift...
You've also got to hope someone sees you, like the
claustrophobia factor.
And you're getting no phone signal.
You don't know people are helping you in the lift. Whereas at least on the ski lift, you can see if someone skis behind you coming out.
Yeah.
Whereas in a lift, you could be in there for 6 hours and then the doors open, or you could be there for 12 hours.
Yeah.
And at 6 hours, you're going to have no idea.
So it comes back to the prison thing. You'd rather know.
Yeah.
Knowing, almost being able to count down. Let someone be able to shout and go, "You're up there for another 6 hours," and you go, "No problem, thanks for letting me know." Rather than 6 hours, "Oh, hold on, we're off."
Well, you know, in my experience, the fear of the unknown is always the most terrifying thing for people.
Mm.
Not knowing what's going to happen, right? That's why people are scared of the dark and everything else.
What if it was at night in the ski lift? Not that ever really be a scenario, but
it doesn't matter. I can get off a ski lift, right? There are possibilities of me sorting myself out in that situation, one way or another.
Likelihood is you're going to have a nice bed of snow.
In a lift, I mean, I don't want to pop out the top of a lift shaft and try and climb through that.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not the guy with the helicopter.
You can also be saved through, like, helicopters.
Yeah, you've got a lot more outs there.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think that was a relatively easy one, but it massively depends on whether or not you're claustrophobic or scared of heights.
It's definitely...
Even me being relatively scared of heights and those sort of things and not having
evidence. I mean, if it was 2,000 feet up,
then
I'd rather be in the lift.
Right, but even though you don't know it's coming.
Because I don't want to sit 2,000 feet up.
And also, sitting for that long is quite uncomfortable.
I imagine you sit.
Do you know how thin the ski lifts are?
I've never been on one.
Well, they're quite thin. You just have enough room for your arse.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's not talking about one of them. He's talking about the seat ones.
Oh.
Not talking about the ones you're on the ground. You can just get off that.
Right.
You just take it out from under your legs.
Yeah.
The ones you like sit on with your skis on your... Right, it's not that.
Right,
it's going to be a much easier question.
Yeah.
Right.
Obviously that, yeah.
Would you rather be stuck on an island alone or with someone who just talks incessantly about shit?
I know that person?
No.
Okay, definitely with the other person. I'd kill and eat them if they got too much.
I'd pick the other person because sitting on your own is quite dull.
Yeah, but you've got a lot to investigate, haven't you? You're stuck on an island. You've got.
Yeah, but then you've also got twice the manpower to do any heavy lifting or any camp work.
But he's constantly talking.
What about?
Yeah.
Shit, like stuff you just don't care about. You know those conversations where people are just having them at you and you're like, oh.
It'd be challenging to do that on a desert island though, when it's just two of you, because what's he going to talk about? I went to the post office this morning. No, you didn't. on a desert island.
I don't make up rules.
I'd always pick the second man.
Right, I don't think I would. I think I've been an only child. It's quite interesting. I'd choose being on my own as an only child, and you two have siblings.
Mm.
I always want the second person. But
to be clear, I'm thinking about killing this person already.
Yeah,
so
true.
It's not really from a
which I'm sure you've had. Have you saw your brother?
Have you seen Castaway?
No, I haven't. No.
Well, he went insane on his own.
That is obviously the issue.
Yeah. I mean, it's a film.
I know it's some background here. Yeah, no, but this is also made up, so it's quite just as bad.
You think like Bear Grylls' holiday on an island is also...
No, Bear Grylls is bollocks because he hides steaks in badger carcasses.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, read a lot of forums.
Yeah.
Fake bear costumes.
Yeah. Animatronics.
Yeah.
No, I think I'd go on my own. I think I'd trust myself to get out of that situation more than I'd trust having to rely on someone else to do a bit of it.
But you don't necessarily have to rely on that, someone else.
I do. I'm with you. I'd probably, if I was stuck with someone, I'd probably end up trying to kill them in an ornate way.
Oh, kill them is probably the last thing I'd do.
Why?
Because you have twice as much ability.
Yeah, I'd use them. I'd use them a lot. And we'd both probably be plotting the same thing. That would be the exciting thing. Like, who's going to kill who we eat quicker?
Big time.
And kind of.
Well, particularly when if you're not catching food 3-4 days in, you know.
Yeah.
The thought starting
to think one of us won't make the week here, you know. Let me tell you, it ain't going to be me.
Right. On to Uncle Whisk, Agony Aunt. Two stories. Hopefully get through both. We are very pressed for time. I'm probably going to limit this to 12 minutes. During a game of Truth or Dare down the pub, my colleague admitted that she never wears any underwear to work.
Yeah.
Apparently, she hates bras and pants because she prefers to feel free and unrestricted under her clothes. I'm going wild with desire. How am I expected to get on my task knowing that I'm only human after all? And I'm married. What's your advice? What's your advice? So obviously they're down the pub, they've played a bit of Truth or Dare, they've got a bit tipsy. They've talked about, you know, some close personal issues. Not, she's loving it. She's flaunting. She's had a few drinks. She's loving it, and she's told you this. She obviously fancies you a bit. She's trying to, you know, run amok on the office.
Yeah.
What's your advice to this poor man who just can't concentrate with his work?
Oh, is she wearing like? Is it the summer? Is she wearing like summer clothes?
Yeah, she's wearing a skirt. Yeah. She's flaunting it. She's like spinning around on her chair.
Right. It's quite the image you've put forward.
Yeah. She's doing everything she possibly can to get this guy's attention.
Right.
How can he focus?
Not speaking to her?
She's next to him. She keeps turning around. A waft of her skirt opens up, and she just doesn't know what she's getting herself in for. Her.
Well,
he can't move places, so don't suggest that.
Yeah.
He's stuck here. This is a seating plan.
Well, this man just needs to be a bit more assertive.
You think he's got to tell her? This is completely outrageous in the workplace. Take their side.
This is not.
You just got mad. I don't see what the big challenge here is.
Don't sound really feminist. Why do men always feel like they really succumb to sexual pressure? What's wrong with these people?
Look, I'm not the guy who wrote this. He's wild with desire. I'm going wild with desire. He says.
Well, let me tell you, as a married man, you either do that or you don't. So, what I would say to his wife is, he is going to cheat on you. Whether he does it with this girl or not, because you're either
interested in
that
or
not.
Yeah.
You know, sounds like he is based on that.
Right? Do you think it depends on the work? Do you think he's trying to get away from his boring work?
I'm more interested in what his home life is like.
Something I don't have access to, but I'm sure you could.
His wife wears five pairs of knickers.
Chastity
belt. Well, if he's having these kind of thoughts, it means his home life's kind of a bit drab.
Yeah, he's in trouble, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in trouble.
And let's presume this girl is of younger ilk.
Right.
So he's really, this is exciting. What's your suggestion? Do you think go for it and worry about the consequences later?
No.
Or?
How attached to his wife is he? Is the question.
Again, information I'm not savvy to.
Now, every other marriage ends in divorce, they say, so.
The one in two?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So
you think cut your losses? Statistically, it's going to happen anyway. Go for this.
Yeah. So literally toss a coin, mate. That is the odds.
Right. That's your advice.
Absolute and utter nonsense. I mean, honestly.
Colleen Nolan didn't give the same advice. toss a coin, see what happens. Go for it. Which would have been a great column actually for the Mirror.
Yeah, you're right. Well, he can only do what he really wants to do.
I'll read it again. I'm going wild with desire.
Yeah.
But then he's telling you what he wants, isn't he?
That's really what I think.
Well, he's done it. Yeah.
I think he's writing this as a bit of a cover story.
That's it. Yeah.
I didn't want to, but story. she was putting it on me, so.
Yeah, I don't buy it. He's probably making the whole thing up.
Yeah, maybe get some attention.
I reckon the woman has no interest in him, probably.
Absolutely
none. No interest.
Yeah.
Maybe she's trying to flaunt to the guy next to him.
He's just waiting for the next work do.
Oh, I'm sick of work do. Yeah. Okay, number two.
Right.
After, you know, very selfishly solving that.
Hmm.
I overheard, this is more of a hard-hitting one, and we do get a bit more background into their private life.
That's interesting.
I overheard my wife say horrible things about me to her friend, and it's made me wonder whether I should call time our marriage. I'm 39, she's 36, and we've been together for 8 years. We also have a son aged two, that's a big factor. We haven't had sex since our son was born, so 2 years ago.
Fuck me.
I've tried talking to her, but she says a sex drive went after the birth and she's never in the mood. Paragraph. When her friends ask her to go out, she drops everything with me. She talked about her non-existent sex life and she said she does want sex but finds my body repulsive.
Oh, that's a terrible
And that word. I do nothing for her. I'm not an Adonis, but I'm pretty okay for my age. She started raving about a dream man who she'd been talking to at work and said she found him sexy. Should I confront her and try and sort it out, or do you think it's too late and my marriage is dead? Flip a coin?
I definitely can do the confront route.
Right, well, okay, let's hack this out.
Because this guy is
clear. Oh, hello!
Hello!
Welcome
Hi,
home!
Alright.
Yeah. What, do you want fish fingers?
There's a big elephant in the room.
Right.
Yeah, it's been growing for 2 years. unlike anything on my body.
I don't know what you mean. What are you saying?
Well, yeah, you know, we don't, you know, we're not intimate anymore.
What are you saying? It's in front of Johnny.
Johnny?
Should I go upstairs? Yeah.
He won't remember.
Right.
Put like, you know, Pokemon on TV or something.
Right.
You know, we're not intimate anymore. You're thinking about other guys. I'm trying to be supportive. I'm trying to...
Where have you got this from?
You've been saying these things to your friends and your...
To Chantel?
Yeah, to Chantel. You know, words got back to me through the grapevine.
Right.
Yeah. I just want to know what do you want from me to make this work? Because I feel like we're not working at the moment.
Right.
What's your issue?
Right, I mean, relatively good comparison to like your previous efforts at confronting me.
Yeah.
So that's what you go straight for the jugular.
Yeah, because this guy's clearly unhappy with his life.
But yeah.
Don't be content with that. That's rubbish. Boring.
Right. So you think again? It's effectively flip a coin.
No, he's just got to get out of there on that one.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. He's not going to win here.
No.
Yeah. Make sure you're the asserter in the divorce.
So, yeah. Make sure you do nothing wrong. Get it in early.
Yeah.
Reap the rewards.
Yeah. I mean, he might lose a few of his bits and bobs.
Yeah.
But like, as long as you know, you're the one making the citations towards this.
Do you think he can sleep easy after this? Where does he sleep easy? Does he sleep easy?
Oh, he's probably on the phone to the first hooker or something.
Right.
Get everything done.
Right.
I think he'd be on the phone to his lawyer first.
Yeah, what if he hooked up with the other guy who's got this very, very excited woman in his office?
Yeah.
You know, make a deal there.
Make a deal? It's not...
Look, there's deals to be struck.
I mean, how far she... Talk to me about what she said about this other guy. I haven't got past...
To be very clear, I wasn't savvy to the full conversation. But she said...
Sorry, did you actually overhear this?
No. This was Colleen Nolan's Daily Mirror.
Got you, okay, yeah.
We get it from the most trusted sources. she started raving about a dream man who she'd been talking to at work and said she found him sexy. That's all I've got.
Right.
It's a very short conversation.
Yeah.
Would you confront...
I mean, I'd really struggle with that.
Would you confront her about him and who he is? Or would you just leave that... And focus on the repulsive body and the no sexual.
Oh no, that would come up,
right?
Yeah, that would be like, so you know, you don't find me attractive anymore. Why are you still with me then? You know, I'm clearly not doing anything for you.
Right.
What are you trying to get out of this?
Right.
Because at the moment I'm getting fuck all.
Right. Right. Fair enough. What a good way to end it.
Yeah.
What a good way to end it. Thank you very much for listening. We've talked from everything. From Instagram likes being bought in Russia to men doing handstands on the edge of cliffs to carrots being drunk out of from coffee being drunk out of from carrots and then through to obviously the would you rathers, which got people talking whether or not you'd have elbows or knees removed from your body, and a few decisions were changed over to my right hand side.
Yeah.
And actually, we didn't get a rating for the beer. You got 1.5, yeah, so that's really, really low in comparison to the previous weeks.
Yeah.
We did have French fries for snack, and I'm not sure if you like them or not, so we might have been a saving grace. Do you like them?
French fries with the crisp.
Like the Walker's French fries.
Yeah, they're great.
Ah, right, we'll save them for next week. Okay, so yeah, thanks for listening. And if you haven't already subscribed, I'd really appreciate it if you did. Thanks to Aaron, and thanks to Big West for joining me. And yeah, go back and listen to the other podcasts. Thank you very much. Goodbye.